Turn your Bibles to James, James chapter 1, as we continue our study in the book of James here. And we don't want to get bogged down on particular things, but do want to see what the Lord has for us. And so you just pray that understanding of the Lord's leadership in it, and that we might see those things that He has in store for us in this book, that we might be encouraged and admonished by the Lord in it. Again, last time we took a look and just made mention to you about how in verse number 2, the temptation mentioned there is along the line of a trial. The Lord does try His children. Why? So that their faith may be strengthened, it may grow. Patience, one of those fruits of the Spirit, that it may be enlarged. And so He says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or to trials. Because understand, when we do face a trial, when we as the children of God do face a trial, as soon as that trial comes along, we need not say, and it's so much in us that we do, but we need not say, oh no. You know, I did that myself just this afternoon about a thing. I did it. It's just, that's where we go. That's where I go. I don't know about you. I want to drag you in there with me so I won't feel like I'm alone. But I say, oh, no, we need to say, okay, the Lord's got something planned here. And on the other side, when we bear with it and when we obey the Lord and do and find His leadership and blessing in it, it'll cause us to grow. It'll cause us to grow. And that's what we need to see. And then we go on down here and we looked at verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, we talk about that being the money, like money is tried. If you got money that's sound, he shall receive the crown of life, and which the Lord hath promised them to them that love Him. We took a look at the church at Smyrna in Revelation, the church at Ephesus in Revelation, and the admonition of the Lord to them and the warning to them. And then we come to verse 13, and we saw last time how that word tempted is not the same word as is in verse number 2 or as in verse number 12. But this is Satan's sucker bait to sin against God. That's what it is. Satan's laying a thing out there for us to be tempted to do evil. And we took a look at how those words are and how that is. And we come to verse number 14, and let's read verse 13. We're heading to verses 14 and on this evening. Let no man, verse number 13, James 1, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, for I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. That's what Satan tempts with. The Lord does not tempt with evil, neither tempteth he any man. With evil is the indication. Verse 14, but every man when he is tempted is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, and pay attention to these words, because it's telling us the detail of it and how it is. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. To every person that's here tonight that's not saved, to you and I that are saved, before the Lord did save us, this is our problem. This is in us. We were born with this. We've got this in us. We cannot escape it in and of ourselves. We cannot escape it. It is there, eating us up, killing us. It's the truth. Amen. It's the truth. It's the way that it is. And see, it's not of God. It's not God's fault. It's not one another's fault. We cannot blame one another. Because this book here, this passage here in the book of James, it gets down just right down honest and to the heart of where our sin problem is. My sin problem is me. It's my heart. It's my insides. I can't lay it on my wife. I can't lay it on my parents. I can't lay it on my granddaddy. I can't lay it on you. I can't lay it on my kids. My sin problem is mine. It's mine. Your sin problem is yours. Now, we have circumstances in life that come about and things that we have that go, all of us have had different things in our lives, and some worse than others, and different things that have hurt us, maybe have damaged us, maybe have set us back. But you know what? We can't lay our sin problem on that as individual souls before the Lord. I'm the biggest sinner I know. I am. And I trust that you realize that you are the biggest sinner that you know, because that's the way it is. That's how it is with us. Every man, verse 14, is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You're familiar. We've looked at them on Sunday mornings, and we'll be getting back to it. You remember there in Galatians chapter 5 about the works of the flesh? All kinds of nasty stuff. All kinds of just wickedness and vileness. And as we mentioned to you last night, that to consider these words of this brother, and when he said this, it just made so much sense to me. The father of the deed is the thought. And we're going to see that as we go on down here in this verse. But everything that's mentioned there in Galatians chapter 5 that is the fruit of the flesh, or the wickedness and the works of the flesh, where do they start? Right up there. Right up there in that brain. Right up there where we're put together, where we are who we are. When we reach forth to sin, most likely we have thought about it, haven't we? We've considered it. And this scripture opens it up to us. But every man is tempted. This is where the temptation is. You know, we got to realize how it is that this temptation comes, and as I've told you before, I believe that when a person is saved, we can, folks say, well, Satan was telling me this and the Lord was telling me this. Well, not on the inside, Satan wasn't telling you that. Because with the Spirit of God living within, there's no room for Satan inside. There's no room for Satan to control inside. But this, we've still got this after we're saved. Because this old flesh and this old mind, I was telling my Sunday school class this morning, all that junk of my life before the Lord saved me, I cannot get rid of it. It plagues me still. And that's a reason we need to instruct our children to do what's right, to live right, to follow the Lord, to submit to the authority of the home. Therefore, they might see the authority of the Lord in their lives. Because one day, our children are going to walk out of our house and go on and engage the life that they are going to pursue for themselves. And you know what? You and I, we're not going to be able to control them. We're not going to be able to fix them. We're not going to be able to make them not do that wickedness or that sin. They are going to be there before God, and they're going to have to decide what they're going to do. And we have that opportunity to train them. But inside, these things are there. Now, Satan, he works on the outside. He does. And we're going to see that. Turn over here to 1 John chapter 2. And maybe you remember this from our study, and trust that you've read it since. 1 John chapter 2. Look at the thing and how this is with us, with this old man, this flesh, just the things that we carry around in and of ourselves without the enticement of Satan. We have this inward enticement, and then we have the enticement of Satan. Look at this. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, children of God, in this epistle, as John is writing to, that's who he's writing to. He says in verse number 15 of chapter 2, 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't love them. A brother said here some time ago, and I've thought about it since I heard it, and it's certainly worthy of consideration. He said, you just say you love ice cream. Now I want to think about that. You may really, really like ice cream, but ice cream's going to go away. You see the point? I just love NASCAR. Now, wait a minute. Does the Lord love NASCAR? You might like NASCAR, but does the Lord love NASCAR? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Well, I just love my boat. I just love my car. I just love my power tools. Now that's going to meddling. But see, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because they're going to pass away. We use that which the Lord has given us, and we use what the Lord has blessed us with for the furtherance of His kingdom, and there is enjoyment in things. But He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I just really love ice cream. Wait a minute. We enjoy ice cream, but love, let us not use that word love in a cheap way. Amen? We just really, I really, really like doing woodworking. But to use the word love like I would in saying that I love my Heavenly Father? Yeah. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, it says, are you ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back? Yeah, maybe next week. We need to be ready for the Lord to come back now. Not saying, not having in our hearts or minds, say, well, I want to do this, or I want to get this accomplished, or even we say, and I understand where we're coming from, say, well, I want to see this one saved. Amen. Me too. I understand. But the thing is even in seeing that one saved, we need to pray for them, witness to them, desire that that be. But you know what? We need to take their salvation and lay it at the feet of the Lord, to where we not be hindered in our attitude, our look, our desire towards the Lord and His purpose and plan and will and way, that we not be hindered by thinking that we know better. We're to pray for their salvation. We're to desire their salvation. We're to even weep and shed tears that sinners would be saved. When's the last time you cried over somebody that they'd be saved? But if the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to come back now, that's what we need to desire. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know what? If we put the things of the world, those in the world, anything of the world, anyone of the world, we put it between us and the Lord in service as His children, we got our priorities wrong, don't we? It becomes an idol to us. Anything between us and the Lord is an idol. Indeed it is. Listen. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. That's what this old body, it likes ice cream. All right? What the body desires. Those things over there in Galatians chapter 5, those wicked works of the flesh. The body wants to do those things. And praise the Lord by the word of God and the admonition of the Lord unto righteousness that we are not a people, I trust, in the Lord's church, so challenged and fraught with being tempted to do those wicked things there in Galatians chapter 5. You know, I did a little study in here recently about the Greeks, and man, they were covered up with all that stuff. It was in them, and they lived in that, and it was in their homes and in their way of life, and they taught their children that. Those things, murder, deceit, and lasciviousness, and adultery, and fornication, and it was just, they're just ate up with it. And that's the way our nation is heading. It is. But thank God, because of the warning of His Word, we're not ate up with a bunch of that stuff, I trust, all at once, but we still have issues, don't we? We still have things that we deal with, and we need to deal with them. For all that is in the world, the lust, the desire of the flesh. It's just not talking about sensual things, but it's talking about you staying up late and on Saturday night and watching a movie till 2 o'clock in the morning, then you know in no shape to come to services the next day. That's putting something before the Lord. You know, we need not drag into services whooped and beat. But if it's going to take us a little bit of Saturday to get ready for Sunday, we need to take it and use it for the Lord. Not just go, 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 and then fall into Sunday. Because what do we put first? I've been there. I've done that. I know how that is. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the desire of the flesh, what the flesh wants, the lust of the eyes. Boy, I like that. Nikki's not here. I can't talk about his shirt. But we look on at things, right? We look on at things, and those things mentioned in Galatians, again, look on at things, look on at people, look on at power, look on at money, all just whatever. and we say, I want that one. I want that. Paul said, that last commandment, thou shalt not covet, is what got him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Oh, and then the pride of life. The pride of life. You know, life is so fragile, and Justin was killed last night. And oh, it's just so terrible to even consider how it is. And he was a strong young man. He was good at what he did. He'd been in the service for a few years, and they're in special forces. And he had to be good at what he did. Otherwise, from the human standpoint, it would cost him his life. But it's so easy for us to get boastful about what we can do. And I'm not saying that about Justin. I'm just saying that it's so easy for us to say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to stand. I'm going to make it. I'm going to do this or that or the other. And we just don't take note of how much it is that we do need the Lord for every breath, every moment of life, don't we? We need that. And men brag and boast of great things that they do and want to do. May the Lord help us that we not be tripped up by that. For all that is in the world, those things maybe that we might be tempted to say that we love, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, from this pride of life comes the philosophy of men. Taking on and looking over at sin and justifying it and say, well, if we engage this thing this way, it'll be okay. Well, the Lord tells us that we need to stay away from wickedness. Yes, we need to be a witness. But we need not partake and be partaker and close to wickedness. Abstain from the very appearance of evil, the Scripture says. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. That's the point. You love, you set your affection, and so if we set our affection and our love on something that is of this world, we're setting on our affection and love on something that's just going to one day, it's going to disappear. It's going to just crumble. It's just going to burn up. It's going to fall through our fingers. And may the Lord help us to see that. Put things in the right place. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, the desire of the world, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So, in your woodworking, in your this, and your that, and in the other, put it in its place and enjoy it as the Lord's given it to you. But don't take it and put it before the Lord. In our recreation, in our entertainment, enjoy it. If there's nothing wicked or evil about it, enjoy it. It's a blessing of God upon us, even in those things. But let's not take it and put it between us and the Lord. And we take His blessing and sin against Him with it. And back in James chapter 1, verse number 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Those things we mentioned over there in 1 John. Drawn away, as we consider those words. Take a look over here in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Look here how it is. And we've been redeemed. We have the Spirit of God. It is liberty that this book talks about. You know, the liberty that we have in salvation is that liberty that we know. We can, having been saved, we can now know the difference between good and evil. Before you're saved, we're just on a one-way track to hell doing whatever it is we want to do. All we understand and know is the sin against God. Because they say, well, Brother Jim, I know some folks that aren't saved, but they're good people. Yeah, they are. They do good deeds, sure. But you know what? They're doing them for the wrong reason. They're doing it. Oh, they were trained of their parents to do those things. And it's good because any understanding of doing that which is righteous and good comes from the Lord. And Scripture is going to tell us that here in a bit. But the thing is for one that doesn't have Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're living for the wrong reason. The Scripture says plainly they're living for themselves. They're not honoring God and glorifying God because they have no ability to do so. Here in John chapter 3, remember how it says here about this? In John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, the Lord speaking to Nicodemus. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. It's the reason we, in and of ourselves, like cockroaches, we like to crawl over in the corner where it's dark so we can do our stuff, because that's what we love. That's what we want naturally. It says over there in James, where we're reading there in verse 14, every man, when he is drawn away to that darkness. Here in John chapter 3, then this is the condemnation, verse 19, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be got unto by the Lord, reproved and rebuked. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. What is the light? Fellowship with the Lord. Being a part in the church He's put you in. Praying to the Lord. Reading the Word of God so the Lord can speak to us. That's the light, folks. Getting up there closer to being closer to the Lord. The only way, how can folks have friendships? The only way you can have a friendship and cultivate a friendship is by what? Communication. Right? It's the only way. You can't have a friendship without communication. You can't have a relationship without communication. If Sister Duke Jr. and I, if we don't talk for a week, our relationship suffers. It's by communication that we have fellowship. Same way with the Lord. Same way with the Lord. And we go back here in James chapter 1. But every man, verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Enticed. You know, we have this old man within us and this old man, mind that is not saved, and that is that warfare that we have within. It's a holdover from before when we were saved. And Satan now can't be on the inside to work on us. It's us that's on the inside that we deal with and wrestle with and need to pin down. Scripture says we need to bring every thought captive to the will of Christ. Our conversation, our thinking needs to be that way. But we can still be enticed by Satan on the outside. This world is full of advertisement. How many of you got junk mail this last week? I mean, and when you get junk mail, you get a bunch of junk mail, don't you? How many trees are they killing and shredding up with junk mail? And then you get the newspaper, and it's got all those advertisements in there, right? And advertisements, there's nothing bad about advertisements until they start advertising sin, right? And on the outside, we're just bombarded, bombarded, bombarded. You know what Satan is? Well, look over here in John chapter 8. What does the Lord say about Satan? And he's getting on these guys stiff, and it's only the Lord that can do such a thing. But here in John chapter 8, look here what the Lord says about Satan. John 8:42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. God sent me. Why, verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust, the desire of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. Why? Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is a liar. He's a blasphemer. It's what his name means with Diablos in the Greek. It's what it means. He is the chief blasphemer. He is a liar. And when Satan and Satan's advertisement in this world and his work and among men and such as that, when Satan opens his mouth, you know it's a lie. And we need not be enticed by that. A lot of it goes on today. You know, this thing about Facebook. Facebook, there's not a thing wrong with it. But you know what? You know what's happening with Facebook? What's happening with Facebook and MySpace and those kind of things? Folks think that they've got this wall there that protects them, or they're deluded that there's this wall there that protects them. But you know what comes out on Facebook with that kind of medium and that? They reveal who they really are. They reveal who they really are. Thinking that there's this secrecy that's there, but what it turns out to be, they end up making a billboard and a wall that just tells about their wickedness and their pursuit and things like that. I'm not on Facebook. The reason I don't want to be on Facebook is I don't want to be disappointed. I guess I should say. But what happens there is folks' hearts are revealed. Why is it that a child of God would put on there and play some of the games, some of the mafia games, and some of those, and I don't even know enough to talk about it really, other than what I've looked a little bit, but stuff that's just wicked. It's wicked. Why would a child of God do that? Why would a child of God write on there and slang and cursing, taking God's name in vain and euphemisms and stuff like that? Why would they do that? Putting pictures on there, maybe of their own nakedness or friends that they shouldn't have or things like that. Why? Brother Philip Thomas was at Camp Caleb last year. And he asked the question, how many of you on Facebook? Most of those kids raise their hands. Now, Brother Philip, you got to watch him. He'll sneak up on you. He had his laptop there, and they had wireless right there at the pavilion. And he brought his laptop as he was preaching. I can't believe that he got invited back this year, but he did. And he put his laptop out there, and it was fired up, and said, okay, give me your user and log on. How many of you are willing to give me a user and log on? He said 2/3 dropped their hands. Why? Because they're ashamed of what's on their Facebook site. They're ashamed of what's on their MySpace site. See, and may the Lord help us to see as the children of God that we not be enticed by what? The rudiments, the baseness of the world. We've been saved from that. We have been saved from that. Not saved and not having Jesus Christ as a fire escape so that we might continue to pursue it some more, but we have been saved from sin. May God help us to see that and get honest with the Lord. Not just that be talk and everything we say, do, and think be to the glory and honor of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Back in James chapter 1, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, what we deal with on the inside, and enticed by what we, this old flesh, this old mind, or those things that Satan puts out. And look at this. Then when lust hath conceived. That's the reason the brother said that the father of the deed is the thought. Thinking desires has spawned an offspring in a deed, in sin. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth dead. You know what? Look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As a child of God, the apostle gives us this admonition that we need to consider that this thing is here. It's this way with sinners that are in need of salvation. It's this way with us. Sin is a problem that we have. We've been saved from sin. But we need to understand these things are working. We not, as Peter says, we need to not be ignorant of Satan's devices, as it says in 2 Corinthians. We need to know that the work of Satan is to be a deceiver and to be an enticer. Where did I just tell you to turn? I've lost my thought. Thank you very much. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Look what the Lord has done for us in salvation. Let me read this to you. Every man, when he is tempted, is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When it is finished, bringeth forth death. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he that is the Father hath made him that is Lord Jesus Christ to be sin for us. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who is righteous and holy and just, innocent, was made of the Father to bear our sin. Do you still want to keep on sinning? You know, in the new man, I don't want to. And you know what? It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take work. It's going to take a sacrifice, even, if you will. To not chase after the junk of the world, but chase after the will and way of the Lord, so we be filled up on righteous food, so that we not sin against our Savior. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Why? For what purpose? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How about you, child of God? Do you understand how temptation, lust, enticement, the conceiving of sin and sin coming forth and what it does to you, then flee from it. Put it away out of your heart, out of your life, by filling up with the Word of God. You that are here tonight not saved, this is your problem. You're a sinner. And all you do is sin. And you need Christ to be made sin for you. You need to repent. Admit to God that you're lost and undone. That you have no hope. And trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that he was made sin for you, who knew no sin, so that you may be made the righteousness of God in him. Turn back over here to James chapter 1. Look at this. This is what we'll take a look at next time. Verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Sin, temptation to sin, doesn't come from God. What God gives is always good. Always good. What Satan, the world, our flesh, and our mind, what it yields forth, what it brings forth, is sin and wickedness. But we're in a strait, aren't we? Having the Spirit of God living within, but still strapped to this old body and this old mind. That's the reason the Apostle Paul said, Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Hey, what's he do? He goes on to praise the Lord because the Lord's going to be able to do it, isn't he? He will. Well, I long for it. I'm sick and tired of me. You may be too. Sister Duke Jr., she might really be sick and tired of me. But you know, you ever have those thoughts cross your mind? Oh, it just grieves you. Oh, Lord, help me to not think that junk. You ever have that? I do. I don't like it. I don't want it. I want everything, every aspect of my life as it's opened up for the Lord, for it to be pleasing to the Lord. Do you? And Lord, help us. We need to have the soberness of seeing how things really work, so then we can go on and pursue after righteousness the Lord's way. If you're here this afternoon and this evening and not saved, you need to repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to help you. We'll help you any way that we can. Can't save you. Lord saves. You need to go to Him. Go to Him in repentance and faith. He's promised He'll save all that come to Him.